This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row and The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. We're at the last few days of the year, and we're looking back at 2018 to talk about the Malaysian arts over the last 1 year. We're focusing on different areas of the arts over a few days, and today we'll be talking about what's been happening in the music scene, particularly when it comes to music performances. Joining me is BFM's very own music director, Ali Johan. How are you, Ali?
Hi, Sharmila. Thanks for having me.
Well, good to have you.
Thanks.
So when you look back at Malaysian music, especially performances in 2018, what's the first feeling that comes to mind?
The first feeling that came to mind about what we've seen in terms of live gigs this year, I feel like there's kind of like a balance. We've had many international bands play in this country, but the reality is I'm realizing a lot of acts skipping Malaysia. Somehow they're playing Bangkok, Singapore, Indonesia, and just conveniently missing Kuala Lumpur as a stop. Although that's a little bit annoying, but I can understand the currency and maybe the demand as well. Also, the easiness of our people to go over to Bangkok, Singapore and Indonesia to catch these bands. So it's a plus and minus. We had some really good live gigs that I've seen and I've experienced myself, but also I wanted more.
No, I think I Want More is actually quite apt, because when I was thinking of preparing for this show, I was having a bit of trouble actually trying to recall, particularly when it came to music, things that were so interesting that they stuck out in my mind. Were there particular sort of major things that happened when it came to music that comes to mind for you?
Right. One guy sticks out from the rest. His name is Anderson Park. He's sort of blew up a lot in the last couple of years. Yeah. Korean, Afro-American producer, drummer, MC, everything. And when it was announced that he would play in Kuala Lumpur, it was, I think, a lot of people were excited about him because he put out a great record last year. And there's a difference between getting an act at the height of their album tour as opposed to getting them 5 years later when they're just playing greatest hits, you know what I mean? So Anderson Park came to KL at the height of his, I think, as he was blowing up across the world. And we got to see a good live set by this man. You know, some people say it's more of a drum clinic because he's on the drums while singing. But it was a sold out show, full house and good vibe. So that's I think, a highlight and something that came out straight to my mind. Personally, for me, I got to see one of my favorite bands in January this year. And they are a folk band from Seattle called Fleet Foxes. Mm-hmm. So Fleet Foxes came also on the tour route of their latest album. And again, another big gig, at least for me. They were brilliant.
Were there any local acts that come to mind?
Local acts, yeah, plenty. We got to see a lot of, I think, the Malay language acts who are really making waves in and around the region. And what I'm most proud about is the band Vanopian Solitude, led by Takahara Suiko. She got to take her band on a European tour. In fact, that's looking out, and very few people from this region, even our country especially, get to go out of Malaysia. But she managed a tour circuit, almost like 10 shows, I think, around. She did Sona in Barcelona, also played in some places in Russia, so that is huge for a Malaysian act.
I think one of the challenges when it comes to talking about music is that it is such a sort of very diverse scene, and there are many things happening in sort of their own circles, right?
Yeah.
Are there like patterns or trends that cut across these lines that you've noticed in the last 1 year?
For me, it's good to know that... Sorry. For me, it's good to know that the promoters are at least in tune with what the kids are into out there, especially the curation of festivals like Urbanscapes and Good Vibes Festival. I feel like out of touch with the lineup, and that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit older than the demographics that they're targeting, obviously. So when you get the bands that are currently blowing up, are in the last 2-3 years playing our country, it shows that they are aware. It shows also that there's a demand for these things. Urbanscapes had a sold-out show for a young boy called Pum Vipurit. I've never heard of his
name.
From
Thailand, right?
From Thailand. Yeah. And And when you see those kind of responses to gigs, it's clear that there is a demand. And at least the promoters are aware of things that are blowing up. Mm-hmm. We do get the odd greatest hits kind of bands once in a while. And that is unavoidable. It's a mix of new and old bands, right? So, yeah. There were some legends who played here as well. That's the... At least the pattern is... some promoters focus on the young and trendy. Yeah. And then there are some other promoters who are always about educating and being a little bit more retrospective and historical about music movements. So that's great as well. So all in all, again, mixed bag, I feel.
I think this is a fairly common question to ask. Is there a sense sometimes that these international acts, and in many ways, even the regional acts now, are overpowering or overtaking the local acts?
Yes and no. For me, the fact that regional acts are playing a lot more in our town, I like to see that because of the connection that we make between countries in ASEAN, for instance. I've always been a fan of this whole collective sound from our region. And yeah, it does impact in a certain way the local scene. But I wouldn't say it's overshadowed because there is still opportunities for local bands to either support the touring bands wherever they come from. And also, local shows have been more thriving, even more thriving than ever, I feel. Venues are propping up, people are organizing so many little things, and you would have up to 5 to 6 things happening at the same time at any given weekend. Mm-hmm. So that shows is quite healthy out there. Everybody's getting a stage to perform on, everybody's getting that, I hate this word, quote-unquote exposure. You know, but everybody's getting some time in the sun.
Yeah. And how much of that is being driven by social media and, you know, the shareability of YouTube?
Yeah, I think that's been a good method for bands to promote themselves. You know, everything is online. Although I would say I'm more of an old school person where I would like to see physical releases. But more and more young artists are finding handy ways to spread their music online. Mm. Spotify, Apple Music, wherever. Facebook is also a tool. And yeah, I sense that a lot of Malaysian bands are very active on social media and it helps them to propel their sound forward. And now it's become part of being a band. You have to have a social media strategy. You have to have at least, you have to know how to navigate your way online other than just being good on stage, you know.
It's quite
new, I feel.
You did mention that, you know, things like Urbanscapes are not quite our demographic anymore.
Totally.
Yeah, and I think like that's part of it as well, that a lot of music now is being consumed online first and then that's drawing them to attend a live performance.
Yeah.
Does that change the local scene? I mean, compared to, you know, where it was really about discovering them in that moment.
Yeah.
Is the way people are discovering local artists now different?
Yes, and when you use social media to promote your show or your music, you know, one thing that it creates is hype, and it's easy to get people hyping on to your thing, especially if you have more than 10 friends in your network or circle of friends, right? So the shareability and all this reposting of music locally is taking it that much further. You know, now people don't need to, or maybe they have a lack of a feeling of discovery at shows, right? Because you can already just click, even if you're on your mobile, you can go like, oh, this, I've never heard of these people. You just click on their link and like, all right, they sound either A, B, C, or D. Mm. It's much more instant in that way. But it could also be a double-edged sword. People might be turned away by the very single that you choose to promote, right?
So the one song, you don't like it, you're not going to go to a show.
Exactly. Yeah. So as a sampler, it might serve you the other way around, I feel. So it really depends on how you manage to change or like at least coerce people to, you know, get off their bums and attend the show. Mm. And that's maybe another part of the battle. But as far as like, you know, seeing how bands are using online medium to promote it, it's everywhere.
Mm. You mentioned earlier also music festivals, which is also a way to discover acts that you haven't listened to before. Have any festivals caught your attention in the last year?
Well, I frequent more of the underground and punk things, mm-hmm. and the festivals and places such as Rumah Api, a venue in Ampang, those things tend to be more of what tickles my fancy, and I think they've had some really, really good curated sounds, even though when you mentioned the term punk, it's sort of like a blanket term. Everybody thinks it's just noise, not music. But, you know, for someone who's more initiated, you know that there are different kinds of sounds from each of these different subcultures. Mm. And that's what the punk folks have managed to, you know, get out of, at least in the local scene lineup and as far as, you know, bands in the local circles go. Other festivals that do well, I feel, curation-wise, yeah, Urbanscapes did it right, I feel. Mm. They've got a mixture of big bands and small big bands, you know, all the levels differ. Even locally, they got a whole bunch of local acts to play. It looked great on the festival poster, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, we then soon found out that not all the shows happen on the same day. So maybe in terms of attendance, there might be patches here and there, but in terms of making it look like a big festival that is aware of local music, yeah, they did it right, I feel.
Mm. Well, we do need to take a break, but when we come back, we'll hear more about the highlights and lowlights of the music scene in Malaysia in 2018. I'm speaking with BFM's music director, Ali Johan. We'll be back after a short break. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. It's almost the end of 2018, and we're doing a wrap-up of what the arts have been like over the past year. Today, we're talking about music performances, and I have with me Ali Johan, who is our friendly neighborhood music producer right here at BFM.
Hello.
Hi, Ali. So, before the break, you spoke a little bit about things that had caught your attention. How important are spaces, really, when it comes to, I suppose, creating that sort of vibrant music scene? Because, you know, we have a lot of indie spaces that have actually mushroomed over the last, not just 1 year, but I'd say maybe a couple of years.
You're right. And I find that it's great that bands now have many avenues to play. But I find that it's always the bigger issue there is the sustainability of each venue. And it's quite sad to see venues, you know, live houses, bunkos after a couple of years,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it's always a lot to do with, you know, the cost of putting up a show and all that and running the entire space as a business. As far as the importance of it, it is ultimately good for bands to have places to play, except that maybe there needs to be more care put into each of these spaces in terms of you know, the proper backline. And by proper, I mean it very loosely. You don't really have to have state-of-the-art things. You know, things that could work and could give somebody, people, a good feeling at a show is enough, I feel. But those things are hard to sustain. And it's very natural for venues to phase out after a while. And, you know, again, the cliche thing is like, it's good while it lasted.
Yeah.
It's sad to
Wouldn't
see.
It be great if it did last though?
Correct. So that's the thing. And at least you could see that there are a few venues that are still holding up there. And you know that sometimes they go through a rough patch. Business is not doing so well, but still putting up shows attended by, you know, a few 30 heads at a time. And that's tough. But that is, I think, the price we pay for having so many events in the city. And it's again a double-edged sword, right? Because you have so many gig venues and so many people are organizing shows on the same night that you might split the crowd.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Which are some of the venues that you think have sort of consistently managed to do, you know, good shows and doing it the right way?
The venue owned by Soundscapes Records, Life Fact, in Kota Damansara. Now, they moved away from Taman Desa to a new spot in Kota Damansara. I think Life Fact have always been a good, it's a good spot to discover local music. They are very genre agnostic, so they have all kinds of sounds. And the fact that they've been going on all these years with the bare minimum is great. And they're still putting out shows for upstarts, also for old heads in the scene. There's always a space and a day and a night for any bands. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lifehack has always been doing it right, I feel.
So to take a step back a little bit, one of the big things in 2018 was, of course, the elections. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone's still sort of in that vibe, I think. Do you think that can we see some of that in the music scene? Are musicians responding to this historic event?
Yeah, you know, I had a thought the other day, like when Trump took office in the United States, for instance, a lot of bands voiced their dissent through records. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the change in government was a lot more favorable to the musicians here. It looks and it seems so. So there weren't many like hate albums that was produced. But it was a half year towards the end of the year that was quite productive for many bands. I think regardless of the political climate of the country, people have been brewing music over this past 1 year. And we've seen some great records come out. I mean, the same with any other year, but... But to say that there's a marked difference, maybe not so much, but I sense that people are more carefree about what they're trying to do and how they approach things these days, maybe because of the new government. Maybe the feel-good factor of how we are not going to be policed so much anymore, I suppose.
I think that's the hope at least, right?
Yeah.
And have you actually personally either attended events or performances that have revolved around these themes?
Actually, no. People are just happy, I suppose, with this development. But other than that, I feel like it's business as usual. There are very few bands who are political in any way, like wearing their hearts on the sleeves almost. So I haven't seen much of that, but I can tell that... that liberation has led to at least a more vibrant and active local underground scene.
Are there have there been like new acts or new approaches that kind of took you by surprise?
What I'm seeing a lot more of these days are mixed genre shows. Like I said to you earlier about a venue being genre agnostic. And these days, we're seeing more and more gig organizers, promoters as well, trying to bridge the gap and mixing up the sound. So, you know, the hip hoppers don't just play with local hip hop acts. They're playing in gigs with bands, and the bands are venturing into working with R&B producers. So at, you know, a good, well-curated fest or a gig, you would see all of these elements on the bill, and that's just great. You know, from a slam poet to a metal band sharing the stage with a folk artist and somebody doing traditional sounds. So it's more open now, and that's great.
Actually, so when you talk about mixed genres, I mean, that is one of the things that when we talk about music, you know, the jazz scene is quite different from the metal scene.
That's right.
What's happening in these different sort of pockets of music?
Yeah, I think the jazz had a bit of a hit this year when Penang Island Jazz Festival announced that they were not holding a fest this year. And I think Paul Augustin and team had to relook at the way things are done, and, you know, I guess finances are just not right for them this year. It's a big pity because they've always managed to attract some of the biggest jazz cats to play this region. And that's a big loss. But I think having said that, the venues are still ongoing. No Black Tie is still there. Alexis is still there.
Actually, No Black Tie celebrated its 20th anniversary this year, right?
There you go. The new No Black Tie, right? Yeah. Although on the same street. In that sense, I think... locally, and I think in the more independent side of things, it's always going to brew, no problems, but you get less of a carnival-like atmosphere that we had at PIJF, for instance. Other than that, you know, outside of town, I'm seeing like Johor Bahru, for instance, been doing this its carnival festival in the last couple of years, and they've managed to attract some big names too. And it's clear that at least the local state government and the promoters have their ideas in the right places. They're attracting bands that matter, the bands that could push the envelope in terms of local music to grace their stages.
Yep. And, I mean, to bring that back to the people who are actually coming to watch the shows, how has public interest been in music performances?
Wow. Actually, now I sense that it's a lot more open. Local music at a time, maybe 15 to 20 years ago, were really just for the people in the know, the select few.
Right.
But these days, it's so accessible to universities, to colleges, that kiddos are aware. That's the great thing. And the bands are also reaching out. You know, they are going into spaces and places that they would not normally go to. So it's not just playing in gig venues. They're playing universities. Kind of like it probably was in the early 90s or the late 80s. A slow and steady infiltration into the minds of the younger people in all kinds of different avenues. So, you know, you've got, like we spoke earlier, we've got the online platform that they're using. That's already boosting the reachability of their music. And then there's the on-ground efforts that they're doing. And it seems that some retail brands are also paying close attention to the music movement. You've got, like, you know, Vans or Fred Perry, who are putting in support, at least to, you know, to just make sure the music scene rolls. Mm-hmm. That's great. So it's been very, very, very encouraging. Except that maybe it's a bit, the competition is that much more tougher when you have so many different things happening.
Right. And I mean, we are still a relatively small market, right?
Totally.
Yeah, and we're split by language, for instance.
Yep.
What are people looking for? As an audience?
More and more, I'm beginning to realize that people appreciate a music artist when they are reachable, when they're close to the fans. And I sense that bands or artists that do go the extra mile in terms of doing PR work with their fans, those bands get ahead much further than bands that are slightly more shy or reclusive and just want to focus on creating their craft. So it seems like if you don't stand behind your craft in a like an open house kind of way, it's a bit tough for people to discover you. You have to be more open, and bands that have done that have managed to, I think, garner more attention, and people are paying money to go out and see them and all that. So that's a thing that slowly but surely all of us are learning to take on, I feel.
You have to kind of be your own PR person, right?
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen some musicians who use PR companies to help promote their music, and it's not quite a thing that we are used to doing at least 15, 20 years ago. And the whole self-marketing thing is slowly becoming second nature to bands. You know, you have influencers in bands now.
Yeah.
You know, that's I mean, we never used to have that when I was growing up. We would be into the entire band, you know. It's not just about the popular frontman. It's always also about the bassist, the guitarist and the drummer. But now you can sell with just being a popular frontman.
Is this ultimately something that's positive for the music scene, especially a music scene that's like Malaysia?
I feel so. I mean, there's always every way to discover new sounds, new music. So if these people are doing it right with the ultimate aim to get their music to be discovered, then by all means, you know, do whatever is right that you feel is right. And again, there's no right or wrong, right, in these things. And it just borderlines on a bit being a bit tacky sometimes when you have to pose for a brand. But you really want to you know, push forward your music, for instance. But sometimes you got to do it because most bands, I feel these days, have a certain target in mind, and that's what's different these days too. You know, people are going into this knowing exactly what they want and what they're in for. So it's more, much more concerted effort these days as opposed to just casting a wide net and see what you get at the end of the day. You still have most artists doing that too, because, you know, not all of us are cut that way in terms of promoting ourselves. But yeah, it's beginning to be more and more normal that, you know, people are being popular, not just for the music, but also for who they are.
But what's But what's actually interesting is that I think the audience is quite good at being able to tell who is authentic.
Yeah.
And manufacturing it only works for a certain amount of time, I think.
Yeah, totally. That has got to be the internet as well. I mean, I think people who use the internet now are more aware of who they're searching for and what they're searching for. I mean, the discoveries are still, the discovery mechanisms are still there, in, like, you know, Spotify or whatever not, the internet in general. But you basically just still use your friends as a benchmark. And these days, the kids have, you know, their eyes and ears everywhere around online or offline. So I think the select few can tell and sniff out the genuinity of some acts. And yeah, it's cute, you know, to see that some people try so hard, but it's just not there in the music. So yeah. So they don't blow up, you know, as opposed to somebody who's just, you can tell by the sound of the music, it's so genuine. And instantly, it just rolls like a snowball.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, the entire country will have heard of you already by then.
Mm-hmm. So what would you like to see in the new year?
What would I like to see in new year? I think, I don't know how to deal with this, but we really need to get to the bottom of this problem of bands, international bands, skipping Malaysia as a tour stop.
Yeah.
Because it feels weird that they play Bangkok, Jakarta, Singapore, and not Malaysia. And I mean, I'm sure we're still some way from being comfortable with a Wednesday night show,
mm-hmm.
Or a Tuesday night show. To have it have a full house in the venue is still a bit tough on weeknights. But we have to try and find out why, you know, and if there's no demand, how to increase the demand. And that's what I would like to see promoters or gig organizers to think about these things. And more importantly for me, what I would like to see in the local scene musically is the experience that you are going to give to the patrons that come to your show. They're paying money to get through the gate. So I feel like we should do more than just stamp them on the wrist to get in and then just wait for things to happen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I feel like the curation of the events need to be a little bit more, there's, you know, more thought to be put into the curation of these events to make it a lot more wholesome. You know, you want to teach young people, first timers, you don't want to drive them away as well. But somehow, the nature of the shows is really just to preach to the converted. So you already kind of know what to expect when you're going for a gig. But I feel like there should be a lot more done to just extend the branch to the newcomers so that they're more comfortable in the environment.
What would you like to see less of?
What do I like to see less of? I like to see less of... I think it would be great if we would do less of falsely representing our potential.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, you can't play 4 shows in Semenanjung and call it a national tour.
Right, good
you
point.
Know, you play 13, 14 states, then you call it a national tour.
Yeah.
That's how we do it.
Mm. Well, thank you so much, Ali. I think that's a great note to leave this on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking to Ali Johan, BFM's music director, about the music scene in 2018 in Malaysia, particularly music performances. Over these last few days of the year, we'll be looking back at various aspects of the local arts. To check out our podcasts for those, just search for 2018 Arts Review on our website or the BFM app. Do tune in tomorrow. We'll be talking about Malaysian dance in 2018 with dance producer Bilkis Hijaz. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.